तुलसी महारानी की जय, हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगो, ऑल ग्लोरीज। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने, नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये। नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम Fourth Canto, Chapter 24, Text 17. This chapter is entitled as Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Sangamaha Khalu Viprarshe Shivaneha शरीरिनं दुर्लभो मुनयो दद्धूर असंगाद यम अभिप्षितं। संगमा खलु विप्रर्षे शिवनेहा शरीरिनं दुर्लभो मुनयो दद्धूर असंगाद्यम अभिक्षितम्। संगमः खलु विप्रर्षे शिवनेह शरीरिनां दुर्लभो मुनयो दद्धूर असंगाद्यम अभिक्षितम्। संगम खलु विप्रर्षे शिवनेह शरीरिना दुर्लभो मुनयो दद्धू असंगाद्यम अभिक्षितम्। Matajis. Sangamaha, association. Khalu, certainly. Bipra Rishi. O best of the Brahmanas, Shivena, along with Lord Shiva. Iha, in this world. Sharirinam, those who are encaged in material bodies. Durlabhaha, very rare. Munayaha, great sages. Dadhu, engage themselves in meditation. Asangat, being detached from anything else. Yam, unto whom? Abhipshitam, desiring. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Vidura continued, O best of the Brahmanas, it is very difficult for living entities engaged within this material body to have personal contact with Lord Shiva. Even great sages who have no material attachments do not contact Him, despite their always being absorbed in meditation to attain His personal contact. Please repeat. The great sage Vidura continued, O best of the Brahmanas, it is very difficult for living entities encaged within this material body to have personal contact with Lord Shiva. Even great sages who have no material attachments do not contact Him, despite their always being absorbed in meditation to attain His personal contact. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since Lord Shiva does not incarnate Himself unless there is some special reason, it is very difficult for an ordinary person to contact Him. However, Lord Shiva does descend on a special occasion when He is ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, it is stated in the Padma Purana that Lord Shiva appeared as a Brahmana in the age of Kali to preach the Mayavad philosophy, which is nothing but a type of Buddhist philosophy. It is stated in Padma Purana, Mayavadam Ashachastram Prachannam Bodham Uchate Mayaiva Vihitam Devi Kalau Brahmana Murtina. Lord Shiva, speaking to Parvati, foretold that he would spread the Mayavad philosophy in the guise of a sannyasi Brahmana just to eradicate Buddhist philosophy. This sannyasi was Sripad Shankaracharya. In order to overcome the effects of Buddhist philosophy and spread Vedanta philosophy, Sripad Shankaracharya had to make some compromise with the Buddhist philosophy. And as such, he preached the philosophy of monism, for it was required at that time. Otherwise, there was no need for his preaching Mayavad philosophy. At the present moment, there is no need for Mayavad philosophy or Buddhist philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya rejected both of them. This Krishna consciousness movement is spreading the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya and rejecting the philosophy of both classes of Mayavadi. Strictly speaking, both Buddhist philosophy and Shankara's philosophy are but different types of Mayavada dealing on the platform of material existence. Neither of these philosophies has spiritual significance. There is spiritual significance only after one accepts the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, which culminates in surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally people worship Lord Shiva for some material benefit, and although they cannot see him personally, they derive great material profit by worshipping him. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadukamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Nitam Tan Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapto Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriya Bancha Kalpataru Bhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gauravandavanda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Sangamaha khalu viprarshi shiveneha sharirinam durlabho munayo dadhur asangad yam abhikshitam. The great sage Vidura continued, O best of the brahmanas, it is very difficult for living entities encaged within this material body to have personal contact with Lord Shiva. Even great sages who have no material attachments do not contact him, despite their always being absorbed in meditation to attain his personal contact. So, the sons of King Prachina Barhishat, Prachetas, went out to perform austerities. And in course of their journey, they came across Lord Shiva. And here Vidura is pointing out that how difficult it is to have the darshan of Lord Shiva. Unless and until he himself wants to manifest himself, no one can see him. Because he is a spiritual personality. And a spiritual personality cannot be seen with material eyes. Unless our vision becomes purified, we cannot possibly see the Lord and His associates. Or unless He Himself, actually even our purified senses cannot possibly see Him. We saw in the case of Narad Muni, when he performed severe austerity, the Lord appeared in front of him as a result of his sincere penance and severe austerity. And then the sight of the Lord was so blissful, so enchanting, that when the Lord disappeared from Narad Muni's vision, in his previous life of course, when the Lord disappeared from his vision, then Narad Muni wanted to see him again. And he continued to perform austerity, thinking or desiring to get the darshan of the Lord. But he couldn't. And finally the Lord told him, remaining invisible to him, that Narad, in this life you won't get to see me again. But in your next life, you will be born as an associate of mine. So this way we can see that with our own endeavor, we cannot pursue. Only when the Lord and His eternal associates or His incarnations, only when they appear, when they decide to manifest themselves, then only we can see. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada pointed out, or when Lord Shiva comes, being instructed by the Lord, then one can see. Just as the Lord descends, just as the Lord incarnates, Lord Shiva also incarnates and becomes visible to the eyes of those who are present at that time. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shriman Mahaprabhu ki. Jai Shri Shri Panchatattva ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Prahlad Nishinda Dev ki jai. And Prabhupada is mentioning about one such occasion when Lord Shiva manifested himself. And that occasion was in this age of Kali, at the beginning of the age of Kali, the Lord appeared as Buddha. Not at the beginning, about 2500 years of Kali went by, and due to the influence of the caste Brahmanas, the entire Vedic culture was completely destroyed. The Vedic culture was completely devastated. That is when they started, these so-called Brahmanas, in the name of Vedic sacrifice, started to slaughter animals just to eat their flesh. Nindasi jagga videraha Shruti jatam, jagga vidhi, which is coming from the Vedic ritual, instructed in the Vedas, the ritual that are instructed in the Vedas. And they were jagga vidhi, in the name of jagya, they were slaughtering animals. The Vedic scriptures, Vedas, do prescribe animal sacrifice, but in a specific way, with a specific purpose, like Ashwamedha Yogya and Gomedha Yogya, and even other such yajnas also, other animals are sacrificed. But Prabhupada pointed out the purpose of that sacrifice was to see the efficacy and the success of the yajna. At the end of the yajna, the animals are sacrificed, but as a result of that, the animal would get a young body, an old animal would get a young body, or the animal would be elevated to a higher existence. Like an animal would be elevated even to the heavenly planets or get a human form. So that was the purpose of the japa. But these brahmanas, this is also another important thing to note, that in the age of Kali, some rakshasas will take birth in the brahminical family. Rakshasas will take advantage of the age of Kali, take birth in the brahminical family, and they will destroy the Vedic culture. Kali's business is to establish Adharma. And in order to do that, Kali would make some rakshasas to take birth in the Brahmin family. And first of all, this Brahminical culture will be destroyed. The Brahmanas will become contaminated. The Brahmanas, Ashuddha Shudra Kalpahi, Brahmana Kali Shampura. In the age of Kali, the Brahmanas will become as impure as the Shudras. Ashuddha Shudra Kalpahi, like the Shudras. They will become like the Shudras. So they won't be Brahmanas anymore. They'll become Sudras or worse than Sudras. And some Rakshasas will take birth in these Brahminical families. Rakshasa Kalimashritya Jayante Brahma Jonishu. Brahma Jonishu in the Brahminical families. Kalimashritya, taking advantage of the age of Kali. Rakshasa Jayante. The Rakshasa will take birth. And what they will do, as we saw, in the name of Vedic culture, in the name of the Vedas, they will introduce all kinds of abominable activities, like indiscriminate animal sacrifice and other such activities. So seeing the situation of the age of Kali, that indiscriminately animals are being sacrificed in the name of the Vedic culture, in the name of the Vedic ritual, in the name of Vedic sacrifice, the Lord decided to appear as Lord Buddha to stop that animal sacrifice. And He came and introduced a new kind of concept. The Vedic concept was rejected. The Vedas were rejected. And He had to do that, Lord Buddha had to do that, because the animal sacrifice was going on in the name of the Vedas. So in order to stop that, He had to reject the Vedas. There's no need to follow the Vedic culture, Vedic literatures. The goal of life, according to Buddha, is ten principles of dharma. Simple, ten very simple principles. Like, speak the truth, follow the path of dharma, don't harm anybody, don't kill anybody, don't kill any animal. And like that, He gave ten principles. Right. And then He established that the goal of life is to become nothing. The point he made is the body is the source of suffering. The suffering is there because we have this body. So get rid of this body. So when you won't have the body, your existence is related to your body, and when you won't have your body, you won't have any suffering. That's why it's called voidism, or nihilism. Nothing. To become void. To become nothing. The goal of life is shunya. Shunya means zero. To become nothing. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when he came to establish some system, it's going to be accepted by all over. And that's what actually happened. Due to Buddhist influence, at that time, Vedic culture was practically finished. The whole of India practically became Buddhist. But then, the Lord instructed Lord Shiva to re-establish the Vedas in order to establish proper dharma. And that is the one that Vishnu Purana actually says. Lord Shiva is saying, Mayavadam Ashat-Shastram. And temporary, Ashat means here temporary. I will establish a temporary principle, temporary scripture, Ashat-Shastram, known as Mayavad or theory of illusion. I'll establish the theory of illusion, which will be a temporary situation and which is Prachanna Bodha Muchyate, which is covered Buddhism. Prachanna means covered, Bodham Buddhism. It's a covered Buddhism. Kalo Brahmana Murtina. In the age of Kali, as a Brahmin, as a taking birth in a Brahmana family. Kalo Brahmana Murtina. Now it's interesting to note that Buddhism is covered atheism. Buddhism is Veda Na Maniya Bodha Hoilo Nastik. Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying that since the Buddhists did not accept the Vedas, therefore they are atheists. Although the Lord Himself has established it, it is covered atheism. Veda Na Maniya Bodha Hoilo Nastik. Vedashraya Nastikvabad Bodha Ke Adhik. But the atheism that is founded on the Vedic scriptures, that is even worse than Buddhism. The Buddhists, because they do not accept the Vedas, therefore they are Gnostics. But atheism based on the Vedic principle, on the Vedas, is even worse than Buddhism. And then Prabhupada is pointing out that there was a purpose for doing that. In this purport also Prabhupada is making the same point. That Shankaracharya did that because there was a need for that. Buddha came, Krishna came, Keshava Dhrita Buddha Sharira. Krishna came as Lord Buddha with a purpose to stop animal sacrifice that was going on in the name of the Vedas. And in order to do that, he had to reject the Vedas. Now the consideration is that the animal sacrifice, unnecessary animal sacrifice has stopped. So now there's a need to re-establish the Vedas. Now how to re-establish the Vedas? Lord Shiva has been instructed to do that. So how did Lord Shiva do that as Shankaracharya? He came and he challenged the Buddhists on one point, on one principle. The Buddhists are saying that Nirvana, the ultimate goal of life is to become, to achieve Nirvana. And Nirvana means to become nothing. Now Shankaracharya challenged them that you are saying Nirvana means nothing, but this Nirvana is actually a Vedic concept. And Nirvana means to become Brahman, to merge into Brahman. Brahman is everything, and to merge into Brahman is Nirvana. So he, as there is a there is a saying, you pick a thorn with another thorn. Shankaracharya did that. He took that concept of Buddhism and he turned it around. The goal of life or nirvana doesn't mean become nothing. And the nirvana actually means to become everything. In a simple way, just opposite of what you are thinking. You are saying nirvana means to become nothing, but actually nirvana means to merge into Brahman, and Brahman is everything. And sarvam khalidam Brahma. Everything is a transformation of Brahma. Ultimately it is Brahma, and Brahma is nirakar, nirvishesh, nishakti. Brahma doesn't have any form, Brahma does not have any potency, and Brahma doesn't have any nirvishesh, doesn't have any any attribute. Yeah, nirvishesh doesn't have any attribute. So, which is actually, in a way, it is saying that Brahma means nothing, because if something has no form, doesn't have any quality, doesn't have any attribute, so that's also nothing. But it's converting it as Brahman. Brahma is everything. Brahma is absolute. And in this way he actually established this Mayavad. It is called Mayavad. Actually the original name of Shankaracharya's theory is called Vivartavad. Vivartavad literally means the theory of illusion. And he established the theory of illusion over the theory of voidism of the Buddhists. The theory of illusion. That the Vedas accept one principle, which is the theory of transformation. Brahma Parinamvad. The Vedas are saying that Brahman is transformed into variegated manifestation of the Jagat or the material nature. The material nature is a transformation of Brahman. But Shankaracharya made the point that Brahma is not transformed. Brahma is undivided, undual, non-dual, absolute. So it cannot be transformed, but it can be seen in a certain way. And that is the theory of illusion. He established that point by stating, just as we mistake mirage to be water, just as we mistake mother of pearl to be silver, just as we mistake a rope to be a snake, there is no snake in a rope. It's a rope. It's not snake. But we are seeing, due to our illusion, we are seeing it like a snake. There is no water in the mirage, but we are seeing it like water. It's not water. It's hot sand. So in this way, he established that theory of illusion or Vivartavad. And his theory is called the Sharirakapashya. He took some, as Prabhupada pointed out, he took some important statements of the Vedas and he twisted the meaning. And this is how he established his Mayavad philosophy. And Prabhupada is pointing out he had to do that in order to re-establish the Vedas. The Vedas couldn't be brought. The Buddhists have spread all over. Buddhism has been established all over. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shriman Mahaprabhu Shakti Prabhu. Buddhism has been established all over. Now to convince them or to defeat them and re-establish the Vedas, Shankaracharya had to take this middle path. Because if the Vedas were presented in its totality, then the Buddhists would say, well, we have nothing to do with the Vedas. That may be your idea, but our idea, our understanding is different. But Shankaracharya's approach was that what you are saying is wrong, the right concept is there in the Vedas, and the difference is not what you are saying is also being said in the Vedas, but in the concept is totally different. It is not, Nirvana is not to merge into Brahman, but Nirvana means to merge in, Nirvana is not to merge into nothing, Nirvana means to merge into absolute Brahman. And in this way Shankaracharya re-established the Vedas. And then came Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, the four Vaishnava Acharyas came and they properly established the real Vedic concept. It's interesting the way Ramanujacharya defeated Shankaracharya. One of the points he made is that, okay, fine, there is no water in the mirage. But somewhere the water is existing, that's why you are mistaking the mirage to be water. Fine, there is no snake in the rope, but somewhere the snake exists, therefore you are mistaking the rope to be a snake. You are saying there is no variety, it's an illusion, but somewhere the variety is existing, that's why you are mistaking this to be that. So, over Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad, Ramanujacharya established his Vishishtadvaitavad. The variety is there. The concept of variety may be illusory here, but the real reality, in the real reality there is variety. Beyond this non-dual Brahman, there is a region which is full of variety. And then he establishes that it is not illusion, it's a reflection. This material nature is not illusory, it is a reflection. And whatever is there in the reflection must be existing in reality. Otherwise, how can the reflection be there? So in this way, the Vaishnava Acharyas established the Vishishtadvaitavad, Dvaitavad, Shuddhadvaitavad, and then finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and harmonized both the conflicting concepts through his Achinta Bhedaveda. It is very interesting to note the way it happened. Like, Lord Buddha came, established some principle, Buddhism, rejecting the Vedas. Shankaracharya re-established the Vedas on the concept of Buddhism, sort of. And then the four Vaishnava Acharyas came and re-established the real concept of the Vedas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu harmonized both the conflicting concepts in perfect harmony through his Achinta Veda Vedanta. In this respect, there is a very beautiful analogy. On the field of Buddhism, Shankaracharya laid the foundation. The foundation, the building is going to go up, the foundation goes in the opposite direction. The higher the building, the deeper is the foundation, going in the other direction. Therefore, apparently it seems that Shankaracharya's theory is contradictory to the Vaishnava philosophy or Vedic concept. But no, it was necessary. And then, four Vaishnava Acharyas came and established the temple. On the foundation, the temple is built. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and established the deities of Radha Krishna. So perfect. Everything has been perfectly harmonized. Even Buddhism is perfectly harmonized. Like when you look at it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's perspective, or we can say from Prabhupada's purports or our Acharya's purports, then it becomes clear that Buddhism was necessary. Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad was necessary. And as a result of that, what has happened? The teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been so wonderfully established. Everything is perfectly harmonized. We can have a dialogue with the Buddhists, we can have a dialogue with the Shankarites, we can have the dialogue, we can have a dialogue with all four sampradayas. That's the wonderful harmonizing aspect of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presentation. So that's what Srila Prabhupada presented in this purport in such a wonderful way. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes?
When two Vaishnavas are having some conflict with one another, they sometimes try to kill each other.
The sound, how do you call it? The sound to be adjusted together? Yeah, go ahead.
But usually they don't kill each other. Sometimes.
What's that?
If two Vaishnavas are having a conflict with one another, sometimes they try to kill each other, but generally they don't do that. What they do is they go into a, it's, I don't talk to you, you don't talk to me type of mood. And then they spend the rest of their devotional lives avoiding one another and having bitter feelings towards that other devotee. So I was wondering, how do these kind of relationships have to be reconciled before we can enter into the spiritual realm, or can we, do we go into like perhaps different camps in the spiritual world, like the Chandravali or the Radharani camp, or can we, does everybody in the spiritual world love one another and get along with each other, or is there room for not liking one another and still serving Krishna separately?
Well, when there is a conflict, we have to understand it is due to misunderstanding, especially among the Vaishnavas. So these conflicts can be avoided by proper understanding, proper communication. But sometimes, you know, you come across some individuals, they're just absolutely incorrigible. They're not at all interested to hear what you have to say. Then it's better to avoid them. And there is no need to kind of draw a line about the conflict in the spiritual reality. That's a completely different thing. That's beyond our understanding. So, in the material platform, if there is conflict, and if it is not possible to resolve it, then better to maintain a distance. That's what Prabhupada said. That some people we are not going to be able to make them understand or convince them. So offer obeisances from a distance and stay away from them. Yes, Paragya Prabhu. Oh, you had a...
I've heard it said that one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's goals was to unite the four sampradayas.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu united the four sampradayas.
Oh, he did actually unite, but it doesn't feel like to us that we united so much.
Yeah, that's what I was saying also. Like, what to speak of four sampradayas? Even the Shankarites, we don't have any conflict with them. Prabhupada said that Shankaracharya is one of our acharyas. Like, we simply have to understand why Shankaracharya said, for what purpose, what is the objective. And the four sampradayas, you know, like, I mean, we are in reality, we have perfect harmony with many of the four sampradayas.
I mean, many of the acharyas of the four sampradaya. You know, they accept it, they understand our way, they accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And at the same time, they have their line. So, you know, they're maintaining that distance, in a way. They're maintaining their, not distance, they're maintaining their identity. And they're also recognizing, honoring our identity. And in this respect, another interesting thing is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself also corrected them. Like when Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he came across this Tattavadis, which is a line of Madhva Sampradaya. And Mahaprabhu, first day, completely disregarded Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thinking him to be a Mayavadi sannyasi. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to have a dialogue with him. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out a defect in their understanding. They're saying, actually they're saying that the goal of life is to attain one of the four kinds of liberation. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, you're saying that the liberation, Vaikuntha liberation, is the goal of life. Then why Bhagavatam is saying that Diyamana Nagrinanti Bina Matsevananjana? That my devotees do not accept liberation beyond my, without my service. Even if it's offered to them, they don't want to accept. So it is said that the liberation is rejected because service is beyond liberation. So why are you saying? And they were stuck. They didn't have any answer to that, because you know it's all founded on this concept of the scripture, Diyamananda Vinanti. Shalukko, Shalukko, Shalip, Shamitko, Shashti. This four kind of liberation, even if it's offered to them, a devotee doesn't want to accept it without service. So goal is not liberation, the goal is service. And along with the service, liberation is already included. And also another thing, important thing is, I'm sure you know that also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted two features of all four sampradayas in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. From all four, he accepted two. And yes, you have a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, what is the literal meaning of the word Shariraka?
Shariraka. You got me there. Shariraka probably, no, I have to look at it. His main theory is actually, his conclusion, Siddhanta, is Kevala Daitava. Absolute non-dualism. Right? But his commentary is known as Shariraka. Obviously it's coming from Shari, but in what context it's coming, I cannot.
Thank you.
Yes? There's a question at the back. At the back.
Maharaj, my question is, why the Lord desired to establish Mayavad philosophy when there is a huge risk, because it poses a great obstacle to accept Vaishnava philosophy, which is the reality even today?
Yes, it is an, apparently it's an obstacle, but as I say, like it is kind of giving a very solid ground to Vaishnava concept. You see, when you defeat the opposing concept to establish your theory, then you are making it foolproof. You get my point? Like now that, you know, we know the difficulties of the Mayavad concept, and we defeat that, it's creating a very solid foundation
for Vaishnavism. Yes, okay, Janani Vaishnava.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I'd just like to make a comment from the Dvaita Dharma. And the question is asked, what about Shankaracharya? So the sadhu is saying that, Sri Pad Shankaracharya, we offer our Ashtanga Dandabhat Pranam at his lotus feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, what? But my Mahaprabhu was said, my body, my aparadi, they're the great aparadis. Why you are paying Ashtanga Dandabhat to him? He said, because this Buddhism was established by Krishna himself. So it's very difficult to get rid of this. An ordinary person cannot do it.
Right, yeah.
Only a person of Lord Shiva's caliber can come and can defeat that philosophy. So
yeah.
Therefore we would be struggling with Buddhism today if it wasn't for Sri Pachanchakara. Yeah. Therefore we offer our first respect.
Right, yeah. Wonderful. Thank you. Yes, Pankajangri Prabhu.
It is said by many devotees that Lord Chaitanya, he took two points from the four, the other sampradayas, and made his own from those points. Can you comment on that, please?
Like, he took two from each to make his thing.
Yes, yes.
To include all those four sampradayas, to show that this is not conflicting with four sampradayas, but in perfect harmony with four sampradayas. Like we find that Mahaprabhu's teaching includes everything. Like it has the deity worship of the Sri Sampradaya. It has the perfect philosophical foundation of Madhva Sampradaya. And Kumar and Vishnu Swami, I don't exactly remember what those two that Mahaprabhu took. Do you remember? From Kumar Sampradaya and
worship of Radha Krishna.
Worship of?
Radha Krishna.
That is from Sri Sampradaya.
Krishna.
High esteem of the
Devotees,
not
Krishna. The highest esteem of the Gopis, not Krishna.
Oh, from Kumar, what did he take? Oh, can be from Kumar and from Rudra, what did he take? From Rudra Sampradaya? Anyway, that may be also a point, because Sri Sampradaya is worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, and he may have taken it from the Kumar Sampradaya of this worship of Radha Krishna. I have to check it.
Mahaprabhu's movement wasn't founded on taking two from those, and that's the Brahma Madhya Gaura Sampradaya, something more than that.
Yeah.
They're included in ours.
No, what Mahaprabhu gave is beyond four sampradayas.
Yes.
Mahaprabhu gave Raja Prem. Yes. The four sampradayas don't have access to that.
Yeah. But some people are saying that this movement was formed by taking those two and then he formed his own.
He kind of harmonized the thing to avoid any kind of misunderstanding or conflict, to make them feel that, well, we are not accepting you. Like, he's accepting everybody and pointing out that this is... He actually even accepted the Mayavadis, right? The Prabhadananda, Prakashananda Saraswati. He pointed out, actually this conversation was with Prakashananda Saraswati, that how Shankaracharya came with a purpose, and that he transformed, he rejected the Parinambad or transformation theory of Vasudev and established his theory of illusion, Vivartavad, and how he did that, and then how Ramanujacharya and four sampradayas, acharyas have defeated that and established pure Vaishnav Siddhanta. So, okay, last question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the class. When we're preaching Krishna consciousness to newcomers, and we discussed this point about the Vedas, and how in Vedic culture there was animal sacrifice, then sometimes, well, I find a difficulty in explaining it, and people may be put off from the idea that there was such a thing as animal sacrifice.
Good point. Yeah, good point. And but you can remind them that this process has been forbidden in the age of Kali. Right? In the age of Kali, five things have been forbidden. Ashwamedham, horse sacrifice, gabalabdham, cow sacrifice, sannyas, offering meat to the forefathers in Shraddha ceremony, and procreation through the brother-in-law if the husband is dead. So these four practices, kalau pancha vivarjayet, the four activities have been rejected in the Vedic culture. So, you know, don't worry about it. And if you want to go deeper into it, then you can say why it has been rejected. Because if you cannot give the life back to the one, the animal that is being sacrificed, then don't indulge in it. And in the age of Kali, it's not possible.
So much in those previous ages when it was done, there was no possibility of making mistakes.
Yes, no possibilities of making mistakes. Because if they made a mistake, then the whole, you know, responsibility would come onto the performer. Therefore they won't risk it. Unless they're confident, you know, that they would be able to properly perform it. Therefore, the performer of the sacrifice would be very, very selective about who they are going to appoint as the priest, head priest. And that they would do after a lot of serious consideration. There's one question from the internet. Who is considered to be a Brahman? One who has the qualities of a Brahmana or has just taken birth in a Brahmana family? Please explain. Yeah, naturally, it is by qualification that one is considered to be a Brahman, not by birth. Rather, the Vedas are saying that Janmana Jayate Shudra. By birth, everyone is born as a Shudra. Even a Brahmana's son is born as a Shudra. Janmana Jayate Shudra. Samskarat Bhavati Dvija. By the performance of samskar or purificatory process, one becomes a twice born dija. And Veda Pathad Bhavet Vipra. When he studies the Vedas, then he becomes qualified to be a Vipra. And Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. And one who is perfectly situated in Brahma Gyan, he is a Brahmana. It's not by birth. Taken birth as a Brahmana but working as a clerk in the government office. What kind of a Brahmana is he? Brahmana never takes up a job. Brahmana, not only the Brahmana, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya. These three classes will never take up a job to get some salary at the end of the month. It's only the Shudras who take up a job. Brahmana is completely independent. He doesn't depend upon anyone. So is a Kshatriya. Brahmana depends upon his spiritual power. A Kshatriya depends upon his physical and military power. And Vaishya depends upon his monetary power. So why they should surrender to anyone? They surrender only, a Vaishya will surrender to Kshatriya and a Brahmana. A Kshatriya will surrender to a Brahmana. For just out of their respect, but not for money. A Shudra will surrender to anybody for the sake of money. The other day somebody was making a point. He was saying that, oh, such and such person is in the military and he is a Kshatriya. I said, no, he's not a Kshatriya. At the most, he's a mercenary. Mercenary is a soldier who fights for money. They're working in the military because they're getting the salary, not out of their internal passion that they are in the battlefield to fight the battle. So those who are in the army, they are not Kshatriya. At the most, they are mercenaries. They are fighting for the sake of money. If the government stops paying them, I want to see how many of these military officers are going to remain in the army if the government stops paying them salary. So that shows they're like Shudras. Anyway, it's a tough job. It will be a tough job to establish Varnasham in this world. That's why when Prabhupada said that 50% of his work that hasn't been done, that means what Prabhupada has done to match that is the concept of establishing Varnasham in the society. Now we can consider what a colossal job it is going to be to match what Srila Prabhupada has done. Who can do what Prabhupada has done? So, anyway, since Mahaprabhu said that it will spread, this movement will spread in every town and village, we can rest assured that it's going to happen. Now the question is how we are going to fit into that amazing mission of Sri Chaitanya. It's a consideration of how we are going to fit in this remarkable achievement that's going to happen. Somehow it's our great good fortune that we somehow fit into Prabhupada's mission. We are in ISKCON. And as a result of that, we are getting the benefit of being a part of this amazing achievement of Srila Prabhupada. And this movement is going to spread. It is already happening. How many institutions, how many spiritual institutions survived after the disappearance of the founder of that institution? But ISKCON, about 35 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON not only is still there, but it's growing, it's becoming stronger. So that shows that this movement, this institution is here to stay and fulfill the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, continuing the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.